Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Now it's exactly 3 p.m. We can start our class. Today is the 3rd of September 2017. Today is also our 55th lesson of the 6th Patria Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta class. Venue is at Wu Ping Ching Sa. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Budang Bhagawantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Natiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Buddhang Vajjhemi. Dhammang Vajjhemi. Sanghang Vajjhemi. Okay. You all can be seated. Relax body and mind.
Maintain some attention. You will commence our sutta class.
Turn to page 275. We are at page 275. We have done the sutta part. Now we are at the commentary, the second paragraph. Oh, sorry. Thank you. We turn to the verse for opening, page 1. Verse for opening the sutta. I almost forgot. Okay. We will recite the verse for opening a sutta. This is very important. Thank you for the reminder from Ingvi. Okay, verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this is to remind us of the very rare condition or the window of opportunity that living being has. To encounter the Buddha Dhamma is not easy, this type of teaching. Then to have the condition to be born as a human being during the sasana, to have such condition is equally rare. So you combine all this together. You have to develop the faith, the understanding, the diligence. Then persevere, determine through such beautiful condition, the causes and condition for you to have this understanding life after life, whenever your form and mind arise. Okay, page 275, commentary. To be unconfused, be unattached. Do not get attached to emptiness or fall into existence. If you suddenly awaken to this Dhamma, your heart will open to the knowledge and vision of the Buddha. If you listen to opening and demonstrating, that is to instruct, sorry, that is to instruction on the principle of the sutta, you can easily wake up and understand the enlightened knowledge and vision. The Buddha's knowledge and vision is simply that of your own mind, because your mind fundamentally is Buddha. So this aspect of the teaching, by now I think you all already understand. When Xuanhua refers to your mind, your own mind, he is referring to your, which mind? Your true mind, very good. Because he said your true mind is fundamentally the Buddha, because that is the one which can realize the enlightenment. That's why the Buddha nature is within that nature. So without the true mind, you cannot penetrate that nature, you cannot realize that nature. Then the question is, what darkens your light? Why is your true mind obscure? How come living beings are not able to understand that they have this nature within? And now we use this as a discussion. It's very good. How can you understand that? You reflect back before you know the Dhamma. And after you know the so-called theoretical Dhamma, then you go in and do all the funny meditation that you have gone through. You still don't understand this teaching. So now that you have finally come to understand that there are basically two minds within the human form and mind. Now we write down. There are two minds. So as a living being, in our case, we are born as a human being. we have two mind. What are they? The first mind is what? First mind is the mundane mind. I put in another color. So this mundane mind is also called your conditioned arising mind. Arising or thinking mind. So this one, you use a lot. As a human being, you use a lot. Sometimes we call it the heedless thinking mind, because before you have the heedfulness, the wisdom, it think a lot. So this one is conditioned arising thinking mind, or the heedless thinking mind. Heedless mind. Human beings' problem is you are trapped in this mind. And because you are trapped in this mind, you think this is what you are. And this is what the Buddha called the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why you live here. This is what the Buddha called the mental five aggregate of form and mind. Form and mind. So this is the one you have to be mindful of. If you cannot be mindful of this, you cannot understand the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. Because his first noble truth, final summary, he talks about the cause of suffering. Finally, he said, all of suffering, you can summarize it as the attachment to these five aggregates of form and mind. Upadana khandas that I call dukkha. So unless you can have the mindfulness to be aware of this, then check. The moment you grasp and cling and hold and attach, did you suffer? Then you will understand his teaching. It's so simple. The five aggregates of form and mind, the grasping aggregate, are the suffering aggregate. The enlightened being, the arahant and the bodhisattva and the Buddhas, theirs is non-grasping. Their aggregates are pure aggregate. The reason being, they doesn't have the grasping mind is because there is no more ignorance. When this mind is free of ignorance, then it becomes enlightened, it becomes non-grasping. Understand? This is the most important. So this one is grasping. So the second mind, is the true mind. Oh, this one dry already. This one cannot use already. So this true mind is the mind that can awaken, that can understand that can develop the wisdom, the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding. How is it living being find it so difficult to understand this mind, to realize this mind? And this is the question you have to ask. Why is it so difficult for you to develop the ability to be aware of this mind? Yeah, that is the question there. Shen Hua asked there. You read. What is the question? So, what darkens your true mind? Your true mind, which is to those who can realize or aware, it is very bright, very clear. That true mind shine forth can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. But why can't the normal living being have that ability? So what is the one that darkens this true mind or this light? We have gone through long time ago when we started, even before the Heart Sutta. I always advise you all one. Man can only do one thing at a time. You start from there, then you will get answer. Okay, now we start. Man can only do one thing at a time. Man can only do one thing at a time. So when you are lost in thought, what happens? When you are lost in thought, which is most of the time you are thinking, the mental aggregates keep on arising. You not only perceive, become conscious, you straight away link to your memory. Then you think. Then sankhara sanya. Perceive, think, react. Your views, your opinion, your connection. There's an acting according to memory, it's not acting at all. And this is the cause of thinking. The first two links, the dwelling. The first two links is avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Avijja, paccaya. Sankhara. And this is the most powerful thing. This is the one, dependent on ignorant condition, activity of mind. Sankhara is activity of mind. And this is what thinking is all about. This is what mental state is all about. So the moment you are deluded, you have ignorant, you will think. Well, you don't understand. One thing to know, one thing to understand, one thing to experience. The only instrument you understand is think. That's how you think. And you always think from memory, from your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. And this one is full of egoic mind, the self-delusion. That's why, because it thinks this one exists, this is real. He thinks this form and mind, the living being, is you. So when you are caught in this self-delusion, sakayaditi, self-delusion, this will give rise to the three evil root, or greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why this mundane mind become grasping, clinging, because of the greed, because of the desire, the craving, the attachment. They're everything like real to you. For me or not for me. There's a craving to be and not to be. Then you have this craving for the sense experience. Craving for the thing you like, you perceive in this world, the phenomenal world. all of perception brings the external form into mind. So all these external form that you label them through words, through concept, through name, they become like real to you. That's why whatever you perceive, your loved ones, your property, your wealth, your career, your name, your title, your possession, things that you hold on to dearly, and the phenomenal world, even your neighbor, your colleague, your office, and all those things, you relate to them. And because you relate to them, you associate, and you try to own, you try to have control over. As I in the Dhammapada saying, the Buddha say, this only the fools lament, for that very body of his also he cannot own, also doesn't belong to him. Then wherein wealth, wherein loved one, and all those things. So you have to understand that these are dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena, not real, empty, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me. This is I, therefore all this can be mine. So this mundane mind, which is the grasping mind, you can only come to understand if you are mindful, heedful. Otherwise, you will be lost in thought. So, as we have already understood, after my sharing with you, man can only do one thing at a time. One thing at a time means what? It means either you are lost in thought, or if you are not lost in thought, what happened to you? Means there is no thinking. Means your true mind is not obscure. You understand? Then you can be aware. You understand that? So either you are lost in thought, or you are aware. Either you are lost, T or S. T, yeah? S, T, yeah? Thought. Or you are? Aware. You understand? The moment you are not thinking, you are just attentive. Aware. That's it. Finish. That's why I say no need to practice to be aware or learn to be mindful. Who is learning? Who is trying to be mindful? The thought that is actively trying to practice mindfulness will not be mindful. Where is active inside they want to do. And that is the meditator, which is the thought. That's why thought-based meditation will trap you. And you cannot move. The real meditation is just relax, aware, silent. Don't try to know. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Don't try to do anything. The question is, how can you be without thought? Avijja paccaya sankhara will create thought. Understand? That's why what you have to do is you have to straighten your view. So to overcome this, you have to develop the ability to develop Dhamma understanding to straighten your view. So you need Dhamma to straighten your view. After you have straightened your view, you become less deluded. Then what happened to your mind? This link, avijja paccaya sankhara, weakened. A lot of those reaction of mind, thinking, stirring, no longer required. Because when you straighten your view through Dhamma, means you come to understand they are all not real. Not what you think. They are impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling, it will lead to suffering. That's why these are grasping aggregate. grasping aggregates. The moment you straighten your view, you got less wrong view, then you will have the understanding that all of this mundane mind that you create through your thinking, through your heedless thinking, they are all sankhara, mental activity. They are impermanent. They come, they go. They arise, they pass away. The moment you give meaning, you cling, you grasp, suffering comes to be. And this is what the teaching is all about. Nothing more than that. The moment you understand this, you're free. Just like Huining, the moment he received from the fifth patriarch, he said, this mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet be free from it. Not be deluded and deceived by it. Straight away he came to great awakening. Because this one is karmically conditioned out for you to use, for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, to develop the cultivation, to manifest, to fulfill your vow. Of course, for those who are deluded, to receive karma, understand, the effect of karma, the karmic friction and all those things. So it's through understanding the teaching that you can develop the ability to straighten your view, that you are not deceived by this self-delusion. Then you know this form and mind, the living being, or the human being in your case, is not you. It's only a karmically conditioned form and mind for you to come to this world. So according to the sutta, he said, you have this true mind, but you cannot understand what is this true mind. Because most of the time, you never knew it exists, like I went through just now. I have been sharing this for very long, but there was no condition for you to understand as an overall. Well, by now, the condition is there. I believe it's easy to understand. You have to reflect and really, really understand it. Then from this understanding, the moment you meditate, you progress very fast. Then you will understand why I tell you not to do anything. Don't try to know. Just silent, relax, and when you will realize the true mind. And to realize the true mind is very easy. The moment you can allow this mundane mind to be, you don't go and play with it. Because through delusion, you play with it. You think this one can meditate. So you go and use this guy to meditate. So who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. And when the thought is active, your true mind forever obscured, darkened. That's why thought-based meditation, no matter what you do, it will not lead to the awakening. Even if you can focus, concentrate, one-pointedness, go into so-called samatha. And they call that samadhi, you know. That is the most gullible part. That is not samadhi. That is one-pointedness. Energy field, concentration, jhana, and all those things. You go into that, there is no thought. Very calm, very still, a lot of energy. But all of your defilement, all of your, what they call, anusaya, latent tendency, they are all suppressed. They cannot arise. That's why it's not a free mind. That kind of mind, in energy field, can develop psychic and do a lot of funny things. But it cannot understand life. It can give rise to psychic, very fantastic meditative experience and phenomena, but it will not develop the understanding of life. The moment you release it out, you are back to square one. That's like, no matter how many retreats you may go, no matter how good your formal meditation is, the moment you are out, within a matter of days, if you don't carry the energy field, you are back to square one. You realize you still got greed, you still got anger, you still got fear, you still got attachment, craving, clinging. You still cannot understand who you are, what you are. You may have a lot of Dhamma knowledge, but that cannot free you. That fear is still there. Because you cannot understand what death is, who died, what died, after death, what happened. what is that nature? You fail to realize. That's why when you have this meditative understanding that there is another mind which we call the true mind, this is the one that can allow you to develop wisdom and understanding. And this true mind can only arise when mundane mind ceases, when you don't think. That's why in the past, if you can recall, I always say this, man can only do one thing at a time. Means either you are lost in thought, heedless. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. That's why you have to understand this. Or you are aware. If you don't think and are not lost in thought, you will be attentive, silent. You will be aware. And when you are aware, this is meditation. This is meditation. That's why the silent mind is the meditative mind. The silent mind that is aware, not lost in thought, is the meditative mind. And meditation is just so simple. When you understand this, you will understand. You will awaken. The only difficulty is you have to train this in the form of meditation to realize this true mind, the silent mind. Then stabilize it. Then move it into the daily life, the daily mindfulness. To develop the samadhi in the midst of life, to see things as they are, to root out your defilement, your latent tendency, your anusaya. Otherwise, that one cannot go. That one can only be realized in the midst of life. Like the Buddha said, andakaya nupasana, sati sampajana. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. If you don't do that, you cannot awaken. It's only after you have done that, the initial wisdom will arise. Then from kaya nupasana, you can go into vedana. Then you will understand what vedana nupasana is. All those four foundations of mindfulness that the Buddha described under the Satipatthana Sutta, you will understand. When you are silent, aware, mindfulness of feeling, then the Buddha said, when feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant or neutral feeling, you must be aware. That is the teaching. Not straight away label it as unpleasant feeling, pleasant feeling, neutral. No, you have to be aware. Aware means to develop the mindfulness to see clearly that this feeling is no more feeling. It has been conditioned into like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant feeling. And what are these? What are these? The first two, mental hindrance. Means you are creating mental hindrance without knowing. That's why you somehow go and label pain, pain, pain. When you don't understand, you will do this. You will teach like that. The teaching is to be aware that feeling has changed, transformed. That's why when there is this pleasant feeling, you must be aware. Unpleasant feeling also aware. Neutral feeling also aware. Means you are aware that the defilement has arisen. And pleasant and unpleasant is also part of the stirring of the mind. The first two evil roots of greed and hatred. Envy, jealousy, dislike, unpleasant feeling, negative mental state, then the positive mental state, like craving, attachment, clinging, grasping, then even desire, covetousness, possessiveness, they are all part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. And there are many, many deep-rooted defilements within. Some are very subtle. Without mindfulness, you cannot see them. You cannot understand them. Then after feeling, the Buddha said, you have to go deeper. You go into citta nupasana, means mindfulness of citta. Citta are mind state. Mind state. That's why when there is this citta, which has greed, the various type of greed that I described just now is no more feeling alone. It's all those movements inside that you have to be aware. Aware means you must understand how they come about. Then how they cease to be. Then only you can develop the straightening of the view not to be deceived by it. Because the moment they arise, it has become craving, positive or negative. That's like upon contact, feeling arise. When feeling arise, if there is no wisdom at the moment of sense experience, which is yoniso manasikara, what happens is the mind will stir, the mind will react. So feeling will condition craving straight away. You cannot cut. There is no way. Unless you have developed the wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So when craving arises, through your strong craving, it becomes grasping. Then you become that thing. Then you are born into that state. That's why craving develops grasping, condition grasping. Grasping, condition, becoming. Becoming, condition, birth. Then from birth, the whole mass of suffering comes to be. This is what the dependent origination is. This is what the dwelling is. So after you have developed all this understanding, then you go into Dhamma. The fourth foundation, Dhamma, become very simple. The moment you go into Dhamma means you have cultivated Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, and Chittanupassana. You have understood the essential Dhamma. You have straightened your view. And you will easily understand the Buddha's teaching under Dhammanupassana. And what is Dhammanupassana? The first category of Dhamma is what? Mindfulness of? The five mental hindrances. Then you straight away understand. Oh, no wonder. Last night, all along, I have not been meditating. Because I supposed to be mindful of the first category of Dhamma, which is the five mental hindrance, I was not taught. I somehow go and create them in my meditation. Pain, and all those things. Then when you look at the Dhammanupassana, it's so easy to understand. The Buddha said, the moment you are aware, silent, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Do you understand? May be sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, or what they call fear, worry, and anxiety, and doubt. You will know. Because before they arrive, it was not there. Then you continue to relax and aware, silent, through the meditation, which is mindfulness of the first category of Dhamma, the mental hindrance. What happened? It will cease to be. And then you come to know, I don't have to do anything. It will cease to be by itself. But these are conditions arising Dhamma. Before I have, I don't have. And it arises because later on, they will teach you how to trace. You remember? The six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. Mindful of them. When you are mindful of the six internal sense bases, you will come to know these mental hindrances, they arise because of the external sense data that come in. The moment upon contact through your own self-delusion, your lack of Dhamma understanding, your mind don't have the right view, it will stir, it will react. It will condition the mental hindrance. Then the Buddha say, trace the origination factor of this mental hindrance, how they come to be. Then retrospectively reverse it. That is the teaching. How to trace the origination? When you silent, you will come to know in the midst of your daily life, sati sampajana, all the sankara, movement, activity, that has the content of consciousness, which is the five mental hindrances, or the five mental, the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the second category of Dhamma. Then later on, you have the seven factors of enlightenment and all those things. All this, you will come to realize they are all in the teaching. Then you will start to see them very clearly. No wonder the Buddha teach like that. He said, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Means, from your senses, through your wrong view, you stir, you condition it to arise. Then when you have this understanding, you just allow it to be and silent. like what Krishnamurti also went through and understood, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. So if you don't arise any more wrong view, then what happened to the mind? The moment you don't think, you are not lost in thought, what happened to the mind? The mind become quiet, isn't it? Silent, isn't it? Aware, isn't it? Then when you continue to be silent and aware, that mental hindrance, which is condition arising Dhamma, will cease to be there. True or not? Even like your anger, your fear, if you don't do anything to it, it will cease to be. We have no more wrong view. No more wrong view means what? I don't think anymore. I don't react anymore. I accept. Means I come to terms with that reality, I silent. Then awareness come in, sati come in. Same as your pain. Don't labor. Don't create mental hindrance. The moment you accept it, because this form go the way of nature, like the Buddha said. If I don't know how to relax, the energy will block. It will create obstruction of flow. Then when that mental energy or physical energy cannot flow, it will create an obstruction, which is tactile consciousness. Then you feel unpleasant. You are not relaxed. You don't know how to relax and let the qi flow. So when this happens, you will feel that sensation as a pain or numbness or something you don't like. Then they go and teach you pain, pain, pain. Note until it go. Where got such noting? The real teaching is silent. Don't do anything and just relax. That's why the four support for meditation is always relax, maintain awareness, the second one. Then you will free. Your meditation will progress. Then after that, you will come to know, like the Buddha said, how the arisen sensual, the arisen mental hindrance, which could be sensual desire or ill will or fear or restlessness of mind and all those things, cease to be. You come to know how they arise and how they end. Then later on, as you cultivate the next category of mindfulness, of the six internal senses, like six external, you will come to understand it's always from the senses. Then you trace the origination factor. The origination factor is always your delusion, your wrong view, your ignorance, self-delusion that causes you to grasp, cling, stir, react. Then you ask yourself, you have to contemplate deep into it. How can I overcome and root out this wrong view, this delusion, so that in future when I confront the same sense experience, I will not react, I will not stir, I will not do all these foolish things, so that I will not have the wrong view of a me and an I inside. So that my mundane mind is not deceived and deluded by whatever sense experience that arises. Then you have to develop it through the meditative understanding. That's how I develop. Then this life, I save a lot of time because from the past, this nature has already cultivated. Then the moment I hear truth, I understand. That's why I hear in the sutta, the Buddha always say, you have to learn to see things as they are. You understand? Jnana dasana. The direct knowledge and vision of truth, see things as they are. How do you see things as they are? Then straight away my nature understands when I see things as they are, means I don't use brain, I don't use memory, I don't use all this conditioning, my views and my opinion. I just see, like a baby, I see. No word, nothing. See. Then when I see, I don't create any perception of it through my views and opinion. Do you understand? Means I don't discriminate anymore. Then there is one thing that you will come to understand, like the Tuesday class. The Buddha already said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already explained, is always karma. Which means, thing is just the way it is. There are causes and conditions from behind that caused the arising of all phenomena in this world. So when I accept this reality, means I accept truth, I accept what is, then thing is the way, just the way it is. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Causes and conditions like that, things will be like that. That's why when they do things that cause negativity, is because they have this evil root. Understand? Angry people will say angry things because it's their karma, their conditioning. Deluded people will do deluded things. Greedy people, selfish people will do selfish things. Then you look at the world. The world is the world. When human consciousness, the collective consciousness, create negativity, then this evolution of human consciousness, the collective consciousness, become the world consciousness, will cause nature to react. That's why disaster, earthquake, tsunami, and all those things, they arise because of condition behind. You have to accept this reality. If I accept, my mind doesn't stir, this form of mind is at peace. Then it does not grasp, does not cling. It does not even want to ask why. Understand now? Why is God so unfair? Why my husband do this to me? Why my boy, my girl do all this to me? Why my own kayanamita also cheat me? All these questions cease to be. Because this is nature's law. Then, with that type of mind, you can be at peace anywhere, any place, any time. And your mind, through that understanding, will straighten its view and will not react and stir. That's why every moment of perception is at peace. You can accept them for what they are. Then if you want to arise the love, the compassion, you just manifest your nature. That's why the Bodhisattva cultivate virtue and perfect it. And that is what a human being is supposed to be. You're supposed to have kindness, goodness, virtue. And this is how you can change your life, improve your life. Your life destiny can be changed. Your karma can be changed. Take care of mind, mind take care of you. You take care of mind, mind take care of karma. That's why when you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. And to take care of karma, you have to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware. And you must have goodness, following the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to develop the wisdom and the understanding. And basically, the teaching is just so simple. That's it, finish. No need to be very complicated. Go and argue about Mahayana, Theravada, Vajrayana, true or not. Why you want to know all this? Understand the teaching, and now the Dhamma is very, very simple. So these are the very important understanding that you have to inculcate and develop. Then when you understand, you develop it, your meditation becomes very different. You will progress very, very fast. So this part, by now, I think is clear. So if you don't create activity of mind, heedlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, the reaction. That's why you have to be mindful of the five mental aggregate of form and mind, which is the second category of Dhamma that you have to cultivate under Dhammanupassana. First category, the five mental hindrance, I think we have gone through many times. Even the Satipatthana Sutta, I have gone through many times. So you will understand. Then, to counter the five mental hindrance, you must have the spiritual faculty. Then when you develop the spiritual faculty until they are so stable, until they become unshakable, which I have already helped you all in the puja, to create condition for causes and condition for you to develop these five spiritual faculty until they become powers or balas. Then from that onward, the five mental hindrance can never arise. Then you will come to understand under the first category of Dhamma practice, under Dhammanupassana, how in the future these five mental hindrances will not arise anymore in you. You will come to know the form of mind. Because your spiritual faculty is already perfected. There is no more delusion. Your mind will not behave like before. No more delusion, no more grasping, no more clinging, no more stirring. That's why you can always remain aware within life, in the midst of life. And by then, meditation becomes very easy. When your spiritual faculty is there, no need method, no need technique. Why? Because the moment you sit or lie down, the awareness is there. Sadhavirya, sati is always there. Then samadhi is also there. But this is in the form of meditation. You have to come out and develop the samadhi in daily life. At that one, you need training. You need development. Then when you see things as they are, the direct seeing in the midst of life, you awaken to the characteristics of nature. The three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then you will understand what I mean. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. And when you see them so clearly, all of a sudden, this direct seeing will awaken the nature. Then the mundane mind, connected to this wisdom, no more deluded, you can say it's enlightened. But it's not you. Where this is karmically conditioned out, it's a form of mind, dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why in the Diamond Sutta we have already studied in the Tuesday class, there is no mark of a self cultivating, becoming enlightened or attaining. Even the Heart Sutta said the same. No mark of living being to be saved, and no mark of life and Dhamma. This is penetrative awakening. This is what Huineng was taught by the fifth patriarch under the Diamond Sutta. This mundane mind, you must learn how to use it and yet not be affected by it or deceived or deluded by it. And that is the secret of living, secret of life. So with this, hopefully by now, you should have very clear understanding. And you will awaken very fast if you understand this. Actually, there is no secret to the teaching. It's not esoteric or abstract. It's very simple. But people think it's very difficult because you use your thought to think. If you don't use your thought to think, you just silent, you will understand. And all these are not difficult to understand. Your only problem is you don't have this understanding. How many of you got listen to the Tuesday class sharing? Ah, good. You listen and you will get the message. Do you remember when the Buddha, after his enlightenment, decided to go back and look for the five ascetics and want to teach them the Dhamma, the true Dhamma? What were that five followers doing? They don't trust him either. Based on what? Their views and perception of him, no. He said he has given up striving, no. He has gone back to eat, no. He preferred the luxurious life. Just imagine, they have been in cultivation for so long, no, together with the Buddha, no. And yet, no, not that life alone. That life 6 years is nothing. Because the Buddha, what that Jataka story is trying to tell you is, as long as there is no Arya, no one awakened, the rest will not awaken. Understand? That's why for 6 years they follow him. And he never claimed he was awakened after he has excelled all the jhana. He learned from Alara and Udaka. But when he decided to take the middle path, where he recalled an incident when he was very young, then he decided he have to go back to that time where he was properly fed, he has the food, then he will have the good mind. Then from there, he developed the understanding. Then he came to realize this form of mind is not him. That's why he awakened. His problem of old age, sickness and death, no more, straight away. That's why he was full of joy. Then he reflected on the working of the mind. Initially, it was he recalled all the past life to recall his perfection, his cultivation from the past. But after seeing all this dependent origination, condition arising, he saw his own past life first. This life, he was born as fool. Then he lived his life this way. Then he died. Then next life, he was born as what? Under what name? Then he reaped what he sowed. He saw all this. From one life, became 100,000 lives, then 1 million, then aeons of life. Then he finally understood the total understanding of law of karma. You know, all these are dependent on karma. And all this mind state, they take birth is because of the dependent origination, ignorant. That's why after he awakened, he said, house builder, I have seen the one that is responsible for building this house, so that you have to come back life after life, the form and mind. So you shall build no more house. That's why he, in that famous, what they call Dhammapada verse, I think 153 and 154, is it? I forgot already. Your famous one, in the chanting book also got, yeah? You shall build no house. Anika something, eh? Ah, Bhayan of Joy, yes. Is it, there's, Anika Jati, yeah, Bhayan of Joy. So under that one, he said it very clearly. For thy rafter and ridgepole has been shattered. Rafter has been dismantled and ridgepole shattered, and you shall build no more house. That's how the Buddha came to understand. Then when he decided to approach the five ascetics, they refused him three times. You see how rigid a person's mind can be. They are cultivators, no? Because they have this wrong view to perceive the Buddha otherwise. And what did the Buddha do after that? He was so... He has got no anger. But he was so like... he don't know what to do with these people until he decided to reprimand them. He just tell them off, no, after that. By telling you so politely and so nicely, you don't want to listen, then he just tell them off, no. You see, when did I ever tell you that I was awakened before this? Have I ever done that? Why can't you just give yourself a chance to just listen to what I have got to say? Then only they decide to sit down there quietly and let him explain. Or then after that only the whole thing happened. The analogy that this Jataka story is trying to tell you is, do not hold on tenaciously to your preconceived view. Understand or not? What the world has told you, if it's the truth, a lot would have become enlightened. After so many years going nowhere, he still want to hold on to that view and still doubt the Buddha. That is where the problem is. When you have doubt, you don't have the right view, you will never, never have a chance to awaken. That's why I say have an open mind. Listen attentively. What have you got to lose? If it's not the truth, let it be. If it's the truth, you have everything to gain. And if you have been following the old way, and yet you don't see any progress in your own cultivation, then you better, like the Buddha, reflect on it, contemplate on it, and don't be so gullible anymore. And investigate on your own, like he advised the Columbus. That's why after that, the moment he explained this, then when he reached the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, straight away Kananya became a Sotapanna. Then later on, he moved on to the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all five become Arahant. Somebody asked me a question, I remember. I forgot who already, that Kayanamita. Who was it? She asked me, it's a lady, she asked me, Bratio, when he spoke the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, were they all five ascetic in sati? Are they in sati, is it? Because they are attentive, understand? That's why they have sati, understand? But it doesn't mean that, because what this Kayamita is asking is, he said, are they in daily mindfulness, understand? Heedful, ever mindful? No, they don't have to. Because there are many types of cultivator, do you understand? Some, like Hui Ning, born without the mundane mind, the moment he hear truth, he awaken. Do you understand? What the Buddha is trying to emphasize is, like what I used to tell you, you must have faith in him. If you don't have faith in him, you cannot awaken. That's why before the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, because Kondanya become a Sotapan and they were full of joy, their faith in him become very strong. That's why the moment he explained the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, they just awaken like that. That's the reason why you have the faith. If you develop the daily mindfulness, the next retreat, a lot of you all will awaken, I tell you. I will go to the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta again. And it's very easy to understand. Yet the Buddha teach the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta in a very simple way. He talked about the five aggregates. He started with the form, the physical body. He said, is this physical body self? He asked the monk. At first the monk, like you all, don't want to answer. We are not sure. Then he lead them. If this is self, means it's you. You have full control. Means it will not tend towards suffering, isn't it? True or not? And then we say, true. Very easy to understand. Where it tends towards suffering, that's why it's not self. Then the Buddha move in after that. If it's not self, then is this physical body permanent or impermanent? Then they realize it grows old, it gets sick and it dies. Impermanent. They say, impermanent. Then the very important penetrative understanding came. Whatever that is impermanent and tends towards suffering, is it right to say this is me? This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Straight away, the five awakened. All along was like that. But because nobody can explain it to you so clearly, that's why they were not sure. They still have doubt. Because the Hindu teaching believe in the Atman, super self, the soul theory and all those things. And because they didn't have the meditation, the mindfulness, the awareness. That's why they couldn't penetrate. Until the Sammasambuddha, through his own realization, explained all this, shared all this. Then they came to great awakening. So it is the same. When you have faith, when you listen attentively, it's so easy to understand. True or not? If this is self, you can tell this body there, don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. Because it belongs to you. It's you. It's permanent, unchanging entity. But what do you see inside this form? This form never listened to you. Understand? Want to get sick also never ask permission from you. Understand? Stomach ache, did the body tell you? Then, can you command this body not to get sick, not to grow old, not to die? Cannot. Then how can it be you? If it's not you, then how come it appear within your own form and mind? That's the teaching. That's why he said, these five aggregate form and mind are conditions arising, causal phenomena. The only thing he didn't explain is the three conditions behind its arising. The sutta never explained, but I believe during the time of the Buddha, he explained. But it's not recorded in the teaching as it was passed down. Because the three conditions that animate this living being or human being is the life force, which is the karmic force. That one is very powerful. The supportive karma no more, that form and mind cannot exist. Then you have to be born with a consciousness. That's why the rebirth consciousness over the years as you grow up, this one develops conditioning. Understand? And this single consciousness creates all the learning, attachment, views, opinion, belief system. That's why your whole bundle of memory, this is what you are. You are nothing else but a bundle of memory with its views, opinion, belief system, religious belief, and conditioning. This thing hold you, identify you. That's why you say, I am Chinese, I am a man, I am an engineer, I am what? All these are from memory. Do you understand? I am Buddhist, or I am a Christian, or I am a Hindu, or Muslim. All this come from this memory. A bundle of memory. So this is your collective consciousness. This is what I call the the one they call the consciousness that can come out when you die, the random of consciousness. Because this one is the conditioning. All your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever accumulated memory, good or bad, they go into this consciousness. And the brain is the one that retain it. You accumulate it through the memory in the brain. And this one becomes your collective bundle of memory. And this is what your consciousness is all about. That's why your emotion, your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, everything, you accumulate them. Those who are deluded got a lot of this negativity. Those that have had the Dhamma, all this gone. They only have virtue, understanding, the wisdom. That's why it's completely different. That mind is free. That mind can leave the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You go and read our Heart Sutta appendix there. When you transform, you reap the fruit of your hard work. The third phase of Dhamma, your mind becomes like that. You are ever mindful, peaceful, aware, with right view. No more of those negativity, the fear, the phobia, all gone. And this is what meditation is all about. So when you have the understanding, you will transform. Your mind will become beautiful. You will become different. So this is the understanding that you have to develop. And the moment you understand the teaching, cultivation becomes very different, very easy. That's why I must have faith. Sada leading to virya, then the spiritual faculty. Work on your sati, stabilize it. Silence your mind more and more. Then you understand all this. It's not difficult. Then the one that is responsible for clouding your nature, your true mind, they will cease. Sankara cease. When sankara cease, means you have straightened your view. You have less and less wrong view. So when this link is weakened, avijja paccaya sankara, dependent on ignorant, mental activity slow down. Because after you straighten your view, you need Dhamma to straighten your view. The moment you straighten your view through mindfulness and heedfulness training, you will have less and less sankara, less and less thinking. Then you have more and more quietness, mindfulness, awareness, stillness, clarity of mind. That's why this mind becomes very different. Then it experiences peace, calmness, stillness, leading to the realization of the true mind. And this is the one that I say you have to meditate until you connect. Meditate. Till you connect to this true mind. Connect means the moment you are without this mundane mind or condition arising mind, this true mind is always there. It will manifest naturally on its own. And the moment you understand you got this mind, you use this to meditate. And this is the one that can allow you to understand and awaken. And this is the true silent mind that can meditate. This is also called a silent mind. Silent or meditative mind. So far clear. If this is clear, then very easy. You will progress very fast. Now you may have a clearer picture. But it's not stable yet. You go back, go through it again, reflect, contemplate, until you really get it. Until it becomes very clear, very stable in you. Then when you meditate, this understanding is there. Then you will know what to do, because you become very focused. You become very different. Means you are not like last time. Simply do things without knowing. Means you meditate without understanding. Last time what you do? People say no, you don't. People say cross leg, you cross leg. People say anapanasati, you anapanasati. you don't even know what are you doing. But now different. When you understand this, your main intention is to develop the spiritual faculty to experience the true mind. Understand? And the moment the true mind arises, meditation becomes as easy as ABC. Like kacang putih already. After that, you can see everything. So then you start to understand, oh, all these are creation, not real. Condition arising, cause of phenomenal, reaction, stirring from your views and opinion. The mundane mind is the culprit. But this is only the culprit when there is ignorant, avijja. When there is no ignorant, this one is beautiful. This one become non-grasping. So this one is like money. Money is neither good or evil. The user of money is very important. So when this one, the user, has wisdom connected, this become non-grasping. And then mundane mind become beautiful. This is what Huining was taught by the fifth patriarch. This is neither good or bad. But it comes from nature. Karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, this condition arising world, and for you to use, to live life, to experience life to the fullest, provided you have the wisdom to use it, then it can serve you well. It become your good friend, your true friend. And this is the most beautiful phase of your life. This is Pativeda. But when you are not connected to the Dhamma, to the wisdom and the understanding, then this one become heedless. And this is the one that causes your downfall, your suffering, your misery. That's why it is not the fire aggregate of all my mind. It's the user of the fire aggregate. When you don't have wisdom, this one will cause your downfall, your suffering. When you have wisdom, this one will be the cause of your good life. And this part is the chicken and egg story. If you don't understand that you have this, you cannot come to the understanding of Dhamma that is connected to the mundane mind that will trigger off the understanding, the enlightenment. So now I will go to the next part. You remember at the retreat, I always teach you the triangle. And now you will understand this triangle much more clearly. This one is the pure consciousness, or your true mind. Pure consciousness, or pure awareness. Then this one is your understanding. You is your understanding. Or wisdom. So if you want to call it W, also can. Or wisdom. Then this one is your senses. S, your senses. This is where the five aggregate of form and mind is. This is mundane living. This is supramundane living. So this true mind, or your pure conscious awareness, this is the one that these senses fail to see. So that's why they are just focused here. The mundane mind, they think a lot. The five aggregate of form and mind, mundane living. And to develop the direct seeing, the meditative part, you have to use the pure mind, which is your true mind. Through the direct seeing, this direct seeing or the silent mind will awaken you. So this is the wisdom part. Yeah? So with the wisdom connected to this form and mind, then this form and mind become wise. So this is the user of form and mind. So this user, the moment it uses this form and mind, then this form and mind become enlightened. Otherwise, it is mundane living. So this one will become, this is wisdom. The user of form and mind, through this connected, this one will become enlightened. Without this wisdom, this one become mundane. Understand? That's why the whole of meditation is using the true mind or the silent mind to develop the direct seeing and awakening and develop this wisdom. Then from here, you know how to live. You know how to use. Then this form of mind is no longer deluded. That's why this one does not suffer anymore. But this is not you. This is karmically conditioned. Yeah, this is like the Buddha say. Is this form self? No. Because if it's self, it will not get old, not get sick and die. You understand? It will listen to you. It will not tend towards suffering. Then is it permanent? It's impermanent. It depends on originating, condition arising. Any of the conditions cease to be, the form and mind cease to be. That's why this one, understand, does not grab, does not cling. And this is what Huineng was taught by the fifth patriarch. Learn to use it, but not to be deluded by it and deceived by it. And the whole of the teaching and meditation is just this. Nothing else. Why is it so difficult for humanity to understand? Because you have not had this understanding stabilized. That's why you cannot understand. But the moment you have this understanding stabilized, you can leave it, you become very different. Then you will transform. Your form and mind will know what happened. This form and mind that gone through cessation will have this wisdom connected. You will understand. But this wisdom will go with this form and mind. Well, the moment this form and mind is gone, this one also follow. That's why a lot of people cannot understand, they ask. But Tio, if we already cultivate, our next life we come, we will have it, isn't it? No. You will have karma. Karma is following you. The moment you are born on your karma, head your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. But wisdom never follow you. Wisdom, like I say, is in the spiritual nature. You cannot inherit until when? Until you are connected to the true mind. Until you understand that you have this. Then only it can connect to that one. Then only all this cultivation start. Well, this is spiritual cultivation. Without this, you cannot understand. You cannot penetrate.
Brother, the thanks for this sharing, and it's quite very clear this time. The spiritual nature, is it not to individual, but it's a oneness nature.
So what is your question?
What is the spiritual nature is not belong to individual, but it's as the oneness nature.
No, no, no. This is a fact that you are putting out.
Yeah.
What is your question?
My question.
What do you want to know?
My question is the oneness nature, right, is actually why you need to connect, then only you will inherit
the... That's the reason why I ask you what is your question, because you don't seem to understand your question. Your doubt is, you ask another question. You say, this spiritual nature is the oneness nature, don't belong to any individual. When did I ever say it belongs to any individual? This truma is not the spiritual nature, understand or not? This one is the silent mind, the pure awareness that will manifest when you don't think. And this is not the enlightened mind yet, understand or not? Do you understand? This is just the silent mind. Without thought, you are aware. That's it. And this one need to develop the direct seeing, the awakening for the wisdom to come in. And this one has nothing to do with the spiritual nature. Nothing to do with the...
Yes, spiritual. Huh? I'm now asking is why that the person's next life, they have to, when they cultivate, they already have the spirit. Okay, spiritual nature. Why they need to connect, then only it can.
Means you don't understand your question. Until now, you still don't understand. Because this one, like I tell you, the form and mind that come is the tool, the vehicle that you need to come. You don't know. You say you know, you think you know, because you never try to understand. You are like a typical normal cultivator, want to know a lot of things. But these are the things that will not help you, because not until you went through that realization, you can never understand whether the oneness nature belongs to an individual or to nature or what. Forget about that. You cannot understand. Don't try to know. Then what you need to know is, what is this so-called true mind? That's why this question you didn't ask. What is this? I already explained many times. Just now, again, I explained. The moment the mundane mind sees no thinking, this awareness will manifest. This is a silent mind. This one don't have the wisdom yet. You understand? And because when you realize this, connected to this, then meditate till you connect to this true mind. Can you understand this statement? Don't think that this is a magic, understand or not? You have to meditate with this silent mind. So meditate until you got no thought arising. As a free mind, you are just aware, like a baby. That is what daily mindfulness is all about. Then this direct seeing will arise. Then it will need condition for it to awaken, depending on your past. If you are like Hui Ning, you know it, because he is born without the mundane mind. You understand? He is already living with this true mind as a woodcutter. He didn't go to school. He didn't have education. But he don't have a mundane mind. He has this supramundane mind. That's why it's different. That's why earlier on, they asked about the five ascetics. Are they connected to the true mind? It's a better question, isn't it? Instead of, are they in sati? You understand? So it depends on what stage of cultivation they are. If they have the bodhisattva nature like Hui Ning, straight away, listen to truth, they will awaken already. They will not have doubt anything. If Alara and Udaka around, I tell you, when the Buddha approached them, they will know. The moment the Buddha speaks, they will awaken. No need to go to the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta also. Just a few words. It's just like I told Ing Bi. You remember? Sen Siu. After he wrote that poem, I say I can actually make him cross over. Straight away. I just have to tell him, you are at the gate of enlightenment. You don't know how to seize your mind. Because you don't know this is the mundane mind. That's why he goes and polish until it shines so that there's no dust can alight. But that is the mundane mind. Why you worry about that mind? Don't do that anymore. That's not a, don't try to be mindful anymore. Originally, there was nothing. This true mind, this pure mind, has nothing inside there. You remember what I told you? It cannot come out. It's not you. It's not a person. That's why this one cannot come out and leave. But this one can see things as they are, can awaken. Use it to awaken. Then use this, means after you use your mundane mind to meditate until this one doesn't disturb, then you are here. You understand? But when you can only do one thing at a time. When you are not lost in thought, you are aware. You understand? When you are aware, you can see things as they are. You will awaken. Then this wisdom will come in. When this wisdom comes in, it depends on your past cultivation. The moment you are connected to this, you will inherit. You ask me why inherit this? Nature's law, understand or not? And some no need to wait till here. Like Hui Ning, the mind must have no dwelling. Sing Wu Suo Zhu. He straight away awakened. He don't even need to cultivate until he connect to the true mind. So it depends. That's why I say the five ascetic, they have their karmic conditioning too. That's why they doubt the Buddha initially. Three times, you know, the Buddha approached them. And they refuse to allow the Buddha to even speak the truth to them. Until the Buddha reprimand them. When had I ever said this to you that I have already realized the understanding, the awakening? And then only they are prepared. The Buddha knew without the faith, nothing go in. Because of the doubt, it's a mental hindrance. That's why without the faith, you cannot. And you remember in the cultivating the Bodhisattva way, what did I say? You need three things. What are the three things? Faith, sincerity, and persevere. Don't try to know. Why want to know so many things? Just do. Obstruction comes from knowledge. And who want to know? The thought want to know. And what is thought? Thought is knowledge. That's why you want to know. And Krishnamurti already said, the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, the truth is, what is there to know? All of your knowing comes from thought, from knowledge. Knowledge is for you to know. Wisdom is for you to realize. Do you understand? Wisdom you cannot learn. It's not a knowledge. You have to awaken to it and realize it. That's why when you say you know, you don't know. And it's as simple as that. Nevertheless, it's a good question, Asana, where you give rise to condition for me to explain. But a lot of people, maybe like you, they're not asked. But at least after she asks, roughly I can know where your problem is. So it's good to ask. Don't just because I, in a way, like reprimand our sister, you also refuse to ask. Understand? Oh, after canal from Brother Theo. Don't worry. We are here to learn. Understand? Like the Buddha, when he reprimanded the five ascetic, he's not scolding them. Understand? He's just trying to let you understand. Truth is in front of you. Why are you still so stubborn? Holding on to your view and hosting. Got question.
Thank you so much for this profound, clearer sharing. Just now I wanted to ask is the Dhamma expounded by the Buddha is actually is for us to understand and train the mundane mind.
Correct. Very
and then
good.
When we are in true mind, let's say we have no more thoughts and we are having silent mind, it's all up to us to realize whatever wisdom or understanding.
Because when the faith is there, the sincerity is there, you persevere and just allow it to be, then the cultivation will progress. That's why I say, don't try to know. And the moment the form and mind understand, you will know. Because the understanding is with the form and mind, connected with the form and mind. It's not anywhere else. That's the reason why every life, your form and mind come, it must connect and develop the understanding. Of course, after it develops the understanding, there will be what they call the process of inheriting what you have cultivated before. It depends on your past cultivation. Then you have read my book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. I explain a lot of my personal sharing and experience, this life form and mind inside that. How many of you have read? Oh, you better refinish it. Then you will have the complete picture. Well, I explain. Well, this life, this teaching has to come. And it's not easy. For a form and mind to have that nature and that understanding and sharing to come to this world and share. Like Mimi said, to meet one that is in the human form and mind is not easy. And every form and mind that come, like I explained in that book, your window to cultivate is very short. Very, very short. And I even gave my example. Mine was considered lucky and fast, but it's nothing to do with luck. Like the Buddha, this nature connect and realize at the age of 35. That's why he has a lot of time. But most people, at what age only you start practicing, so-called practicing the Dhamma? 15. Huh? Then, when are you serious? No, no, it's okay. At 15 you start, it's okay. But when are you serious? Wow, straight away serious. Then, did you meet the right teacher? At the age of 15, you met me? No. Oh, 50, correct. If it's 50, correct. I thought 15, still student. Let's say, if you started before you met me, you already in the Buddhist fraternity, right? Let's say you start early. You should have started early. Maybe during your uni. Uni, you involved with Buddhist society or what. Then after you graduate, you come out, you work. Then you find time, you go retreat, you go vipassana, I don't know. Then after that, you search, like Pamasuri. Search, until finally he met me. Say, Bratio, I've been looking for one for so long. Then the moment you met, let's say 50, how many years already? 6 years? 8 years? Eight years already, yeah. I think you were the one invite me to Subang, to Thursday class, Sui Ansa. So 8 years. By now, you have quite good understanding that you should connect very fast. Let's say before 60, before you retire. Yeah, very easy. With this type of understanding, you will go through the sainthood way very fast. Then what happens is, at the age of 60, only you start to develop the cultivation. You start to connect. Then to understand all this, to stabilize all this, it takes you a while. At the age of 35, when this one get connected, I didn't do anything for 15 years until 204, then I come out. Why? Because, like the Buddha said, nobody can understand. No point. Then, what happened is, over this period, it stabilized. Then, a lot of the past came back. A lot from the past cultivation came back. Then even this life, this form of mind come, a lot of things you understand without teacher. My teacher who teach me don't have the understanding so deep. And a lot of things they teach me also is based on their own contemplative wisdom and understanding at that time. To the level they can understand. But it helps me. Because those are the things that I need. It's like winning, I need truth. The moment I receive truth, this nature progresses very fast. It will connect. It will develop the understanding on its own. And it will move. Then like I wrote in that book, a lot of things, even before this nature connect at the age of 35, at the age of 8 or 9 or later 10 and more, glimpses of my cultivation come back to me. But that time I cannot understand what they are. Like the daily mindfulness, the specific phenomenal awareness. Now only I know how to use the word to describe it. I saw it when I was very young, and I don't know what that was. But deep inside, that nature tell me, this is something very useful. You will come to use it. You will come to understand it. That time, the mind, I can look at nature as a kid, the flow of nature. That specific phenomenal awareness. I was thinking, how come like that my mind? Flow with the thing, nothing. At that time, with the mundane mind on, no. Like that. Then when the consciousness came out, it know how to go through the cessation, no. It know how to understand what happened, no. But that time I cannot describe it, because I don't know what it was. Then later on, after I came to understand the Dhamma, meditate, then I know that there is this craving force that binds our consciousness to the body and trap it inside. That's why I saw when my consciousness came out. Before it came out, the whole process I described in the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. How it dissipate, how the craving force that holds this consciousness to this body dissipate, then how this, what I call the random of consciousness, means your memory, your this whole bundle of memory, that consciousness that is inside, how it come out. Then it was up there. Yeah. Then it saw the body down there. That's why what I share is based on what I understand. I don't go and read book and theory tell you. If I don't understand, I tell you I don't understand. But I have an experience. But if I dare to tell you, means this form of mind has gone through. That's the understanding. And all this, how can I know? I was still a kid. I don't even know what meditation is. Then when I look at the star, also about at the age of 10 or 1, the mind start to probe. Start to question, who am I, what am I, what am I doing here? Then deep inside say you must meditate. And I don't even know what is meditation. That's why the search from that young age is start. Then the moment I know geography, science, this nature become very different. This nature keep on probing. I don't need to wait for suffering. I don't need to wait for Dhamma to come. That time I search all religion. I didn't even know which is the true one. Then I saw my mother doing all the traditional Chinese traditional. I said, if this is Buddhism, forget about it. We all can bargain with the dainty one. I offer you chicken and all those things. Yeah? Then you make sure my family have good luck and all those things. Then healthy, pass exam and all those things. Then if this are fulfilled, I slaughter chicken and offer some more. When I was young, I looked at it, I said, cannot be. If this is Buddhism, forget about it. I didn't even look at Buddhism. But what a funny thing is, when I go with my mother, only at the Kunyam temple, Kuan Yin temple, I will pay respect. Then I will pay respect to the two Bodhisattva, the Tichang Wang Pusa and Pusen or Wen Su. Very strange. Then Sakyamuni also, I will pay respect. The rest of the dainty, I cannot. I take the joystick, I count 1 to 10, just to please my mother, I put it down. So that was what I went through. Then he took me to a lot of this medium place and all those things which they believe, but my nature cannot. So a lot of your past, it will come back as glimpses to you. But the karmic one, you will straight away inherit one. That's why there were many occasions, I think 3 occasions, this form am I supposed to die? But because of Kuan Yin, it survived. That's why I put there, you have to cultivate affinity with this great being, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and seek their protection, guidance, and blessing. And all this, including how to cultivate the Bodhisattva way, the 4 basic vow of the Bodhisattva, the 3 set of pure precepts, and the whole of the cultivation. You only need 3 things. Faith, sincerity, and perseverance that determine true aspiration this life strongly because of the merits, the condition, the window, so that in future, whenever you have to come or you choose to come, you must have this understanding then the aspiration also teach you how to break all the coming obstruction. And how to understand with right view that this five aggregate of form and mind is not you. They are impermanent, leading to suffering. And they are empty, nonsense. It's all that. Then the two type of five aggregate of form and mind. First aspect, second aspect. So all these are the important right view that you must have. Then the law of karma. Why the advice of the Buddha is so important. And we expanded on it. Because the three set of pure precepts is not only the advice of the Buddha. They are an expanded version of the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is, the first advice is to avoid all evil. Remember? Avoid all evil. And how do you avoid all evil? By keeping your precepts. But under the first set of pure precepts, which I also added in your Bodhisattva vow, you vow to avoid all evil, and you vow to understand what constitutes evil, so that you can do it properly. Well, a lot of people just avoid all evil, okay, lah, I keep my precept. But they don't even want to find out what constitutes evil. That's why they cannot go far. They cannot progress. Then if this life you don't have this understanding, what do you think will happen your future life when the sasana is no more? Can you retain all this understanding? Even this life, let's say you don't commit seriously to develop the understanding until it becomes a part of you. That's why I say the Bodhisattva vow, you have to do it initially on a daily basis for at least 3 months. Then later on, maybe on a weekly basis. Then when it becomes very stable, maybe once in 3 months or once in 6 months, then when it has become a part of you, then you can forget about it. But all this understanding is already with you. So this is key to cultivation. All this other understanding is all in the book. If you read through by now, you should have the understanding, and you have a lot of faith, a lot of gratitude, and you will because this window you miss, you will end up like previous window, because nobody maybe at that time was able to share this with you. Then you just do your part. After you do your part, what happens is, when the sasana no more, your karmic nature fall again, and fall for how long you don't know. Because the sasana between Buddha. Hey, what's the time already? Exceeded meditation time already. Yeah, 4:45. 4:44. Yeah, exceeded 15 minutes. Maybe we use another 15 minutes. Then we can have a short meditation. Okay. Where was I just now? Where was I? You may get lost for very long. Then, what happened? Your karmic nature fall again. But because this sasana, you have done a lot of good things, isn't it? You understand? The next sasana, you will have a chance to become a human being again. You will get a chance to meet the Sambuddha or the great beings again. But again, after that, you're not serious, you will continue for very long. But if you are serious, like what I wrote in the book, by the time you reach the next sasana, I tell you, you can be like one of these great beings. Maybe your nature will be better than mine, I tell you, which is now. Because if you cultivate with this understanding non-stop from now to the next sasana, the next samasambuddha, your progress is going to be very, very different. And you can develop that type of nature which is not an ordinary bodhisattva anymore. You will have reached very stable understanding. Then you may not even regress or fall. And this is what you are capable of if you really have the understanding. Because this window, that's the reason why all the bodhisattva, when they come with new understanding, they will introduce it to the world. is up to the living being to whether they understand the teaching or not, they understand the message or not, and how many of them can receive it and really benefit from it. And the way the thing has evolved is meant to be. That's why Maitreya came in the year 2008. And now it's already 10 years. That's why the book come, the website come, everything come. You read the book, the condition behind the sharing of the Bodhisattva way just arise. Many Kayanamita wrote to me, suddenly they ask for this teaching. Some say they dare not even think about it in the past. They were very contented with sainthood way and all. But all of a sudden, their nature inside expressed that what they call calling. We call it the calling, inner calling. Then all of a sudden, a lot of this condition arise. You remember Tuesday class? This Hui Rong. Suddenly he asked for the Diamond Sutta to be shared. Oh. For no reason, no. He just come and request, Pratyo, can we go through this one? Then I open up that Diamond Sutta book. I read through. I say, you serious or not? You want to share this? I say, this one got no teaching or no? No real teaching. It only teach you how to cultivate. And it's all Bodhisattva way. Then later on, Miss B also want to share this sutta. I say, I never teach two same sutta at any one time in two different places. Then later on, luckily, she settled for six patriarchal sutta. Then we had the Heart Sutta. That is the foundation that you need. Because without that Heart Sutta, you all will not be able to understand what I share. The Heart Sutta also a compilation over a few years. I think since the year 2012, end of 2012 onward. After you request me to come over. Then we compile that book. And I already said, you have enough teaching. When that time I say you have enough teaching means sainthood way. It's all in the Heart Sutta, Anasana. Then there are a little bit of the triangle thing that most of you all cannot understand. Then about the true mind, other things, they were there, but not explained. We had no condition at that time. But now it's different. Now since the end of 2014, the condition arise, and even in that book I wrote, during the early years when I, through my nature, can feel that the Kayanamita force will become very strong and a lot of Kayanamita will progress. That was during the early years of, I think, 2009 or 2010, I forgot already. Then really it took off. Then a lot of Kayanamita progress. Then the Klang talk, the Dhamma book, transcript book all start to come out. Then there were a lot of other things. Then that time I say, year by year, the Kayanamita will progress, will transform. Then the Kayanamita fund everything will. Then later on, this nature felt, it's no longer year by year, no. Month by month, a lot of things are happening. Then later on, I predicted, it will happen day by day. Then, finally, moment to moment, all of the Kayanamita nature. Because once the website is set up, you can gain a lot of access to the repository of Dhamma material, the teaching and all those things. Both the hard copy and the soft copy. And if you really have faith, the sincerity, then slowly you cultivate, you go through the teaching. After you cultivate for 3 months or one, you read again, you listen again. It's very different, I tell you. Then what you cannot detect or receive earlier on, you all of a sudden, like, wow, all this sharing were there. But at that time, you were not ready. You were not able to understand and receive them. That's the reason why if you don't cultivate, you can never receive the higher teaching. They are all there, shared. Then after you do all this, you can come and ask me all those questions. In fact, in the book, I hinted, before this form and mind go, whatever you want to know, you better ask. Otherwise, after this form and mind go, that understanding follow this form and mind. By then, you want to ask also no more condition to ask. But you have to cultivate. When you cultivate, you will have those questions. And it's very interesting, I tell you. Because this scope, you can never use your thought to understand. This one is deep from the nature inside. And these are the teaching that very rare, because like I explained, even as a bodhisattva, you know how to come. Every form of mind that come as a bodhisattva, your chances of receiving and maybe developing the understanding is limited. Unless you make those aspirations to have this understanding life after life, so that whenever you come, you can continue this way beautifully and you will connect early. Otherwise, it's not easy. Because like I said, this form and mind is very fragile, very vulnerable, very easily wiped off. Even as a bodhisattva, there are a lot. Before they connect, the form and mind already wiped off. What can you do? There is no condition for you to move on. But even if it's wiped off, you will know how to cease, because they are bodhisattva. But what is important is all this teaching and understanding, you can only receive them during the sasana. And the sasana are very, very beautiful window to receive all this teaching. That's why you have to make aspiration, determination to have this understanding life after life. Then from there you will progress very, very fast, very differently. So all this is already in that book. What you need is already in that book. Then you read, you cultivate, then after that, if you got any question, you can ask. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, good. We got 7 more minutes. You can have your meditation. Today I didn't really go into the sutta. Oh, never mind. We just, the first para didn't even finish. It's okay. So what darkens your light? You already know the answer, is it? So we read what we can establish from Srinivas commentary, maybe. I use the 7 minutes to read to you. Thought of greed. Create thoughts of love. Greed is dirt or dust. And love defiled. Because that one is with attachment, with delusion. The impurities. So these are your mundane thought process, understand that, with the evil roots. So these are the ones that obscure. Of greed and love. Greed is attachment, lust, and all these things. Craving, desire. Then selfishness. Cause self-seeking, which is selfishness. And make you a slave to the sensual rhyme. By now, you should have become enlightened. Stop depending on outer condition, which only make trouble within. Now you understand. Means the phenomenal world. When you attach, cling, and give meaning, it will only make trouble within. Means your mundane mind get agitated, disturbed. Without them, there is one. So why you hold? Why you cling? Why you grasp? Why you continue to be deceived and deluded by it? No trouble, there is peace and purity. That's what the true mind is all about. So, Pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma, you will get to experience all this. So this is beautiful. Then there are many variety of external conditions. Are there? The 6 sendor come in. Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your body and mind. Form, sound, smell, taste, tangible objects and objects of the mind. And the sixth consciousness, where six organs and sense objects meet, means the 18th sense rhyme. When you seek outside yourself, your mind is not at peace. Ah, this one you have to investigate and find out. By now you can understand. But to really meditate and understand this is again different, you know. What you think you know is just mainly knowledge. So this knowledge of course will help you, but you must not be complacent. You must not say, oh, I know already. That is the most dangerous person. Why do you want to say you know already? Why can't you just silent and find out? The wise will come to understand through their own investigative understanding. This can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So you silent, then see whether you understand. Then when you can truly understand, when you seek outside yourself, your mind is not at peace. Seek outside means you are drawn by the external phenomenal world. You don't have self-awareness. Do you understand? Huh? Self-awareness is seeking within. When you are aware from within, then you are aware of outside. That is meditation. When you seek outside, means your mundane mind is busy, clinging and holding on to the phenomenal world. That's why the mind is the forerunner of all things, the Buddha said. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, everything arises. The phenomenal world, the conditioned arising world, karma, everything arises. Where mind sees, everything sees. That's the reason why Shenhua said, without them, there is no trouble. There is just peace and purity. When you seek outside yourself, your mind is not at peace. You are upset and anxious. And your mind, originally the master, become the body slave. You understand the meaning of it. When your true mind develops the wisdom, you are the master of your own form of mind. Do you understand? Master of the house. Master of your own life, your own destiny. Where the user of mind has wisdom. But when you don't have the understanding, what happens? Yeah? you become the body slave. So, you want to be a slave to your own form of mind, or you want to be the master of your own form of mind? It's up to you. Without wisdom, you are the slave. Your ignorance will condition you into delusion. And delusion will condition the evil root. They give rise to the grasping, clinging, and the holding on that will condition your suffering, misery, your negativity of karma. And this is so clear, so simple. Your life, isn't it? You should know how to choose, isn't it? You choose to be the master or the slave. Master of your own life destiny. So to be master, you must awaken to the Dhamma, the truth, the understanding. When you understand, the whole story becomes very simple. For my mind, so what? For me to use. It's my vehicle and tool. I have love, compassion. I appreciate what this for my mind can do for me. When there is wisdom, understanding, this for my mind becomes beautiful. No longer deceived, deluded. No more suffering, no more problem. So you get to live the... You get to live the... What type of life? Huh? The beautiful life of a noble being. An enlightened being. And it's so simple. And if you know how to choose wisely, you will choose to have this understanding. So, don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, I wait till I retire, then only I go full time. Meditation is always full time. In the midst of life and nature, no need to wait till you retire. If you cannot meditate in the midst of life and nature, you can forget about meditation. You need to be pensionable only you can meditate. Susala means at least 55 or 60 years old and beyond. Then we go on. You are upset and anxious, and your mind, originally the master, become the body slave. The Buddha troubled themselves to arise from samadhi just to tell you not to seek outside yourself. See? He even quote the Buddha. You somehow, like the five ascetic, ignore him. When you quit seeking outside, you are one with? You are one with who? You want to do that? Quit seeking outside means develop awareness within. Do you understand? Develop mindfulness within. Ever mindful. Then you open up their knowledge and vision, means the Buddha's perfection of wisdom and virtue. Here the word knowledge is not so appropriate. It should be wisdom and virtue. And become just like them. The deviant views and delusion of ordinary being causes them to perform offensive act or evil act, while their speech may be as compassionate as the Buddha, their mind are as poisonous as a snake. See? This is called do one thing, act one thing, and think another thing. Of the offense they commit, greed, hatred, and jealousy are the worst. But when they shine the light within and straighten out their own mind, means straightening your views, they naturally are open to understanding and virtue, means wisdom and virtue of the Buddha. So this reversing the light to shine within, then through this direct seeing, you straighten your view. It's real cultivation. This is how you transform. Then they, according to Sui Hong also, he said, they naturally are open to, means you have an open mind, and you are open to the Buddha's knowledge and vision, which is his wisdom and virtue. Okay, good. We finish this. So we can stop here. Page 276. We end. So 277, we will continue next Sunday. I think next Sunday, after that, we break for 2 weeks. We are going for China trip. After that, 15 to 20 something, we are away. I think until 23rd. So, 2 Sundays, we don't have class. No, next Sunday, God is on. Next Sunday is the 10th. Then after that, we break for 2 Sundays. Okay, now you can have your meditation. Maybe half an hour. Okay, half an hour. I will set the alarm. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we can continue with our meditation reporting. You just have to raise your hand. We will pass the mic to you. Anybody who wish to report their meditation or ask any meditative related or Dhamma question, you can. Anybody? Next time we go around. Every time, little or no question. You can report your meditation and ask any question related to the meditation or the teaching. Anybody? Do that? Wow, all understood. You don't have them, what do you want to learn? You have to let me know. Somebody went to the retreat. Was it a retreat? Padmasuri went on. Today they come back. Oh, okay. Anybody wants to report meditation or make clear whatever you're not sure?
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
吴董 ，Missy 周末把麦 pass 给我。其实，哎，我去了 Cameron 做那个地藏菩萨佛七。
哦，对啊。
哎。
几天？
五天四夜我去了。
嗯，
其实我没有 planning 去，然后就是那个早上。
嗯。
然后我就。很determined的大车去
，So
我的 experience 是我在大车的过程，
very good。
哎，就是我上了那个车，我其实我要搭11:09的车，然后我去到车站，然后 Freddy 就走了，然后那个车站的人说你只有2:45，那你要不要？然后他看我，我又看他，然后我说OK 要，然后就拿了车票，就在等，然后我就 call Freddy， 你来载我，我要去吃午餐才能踏车。然后就是等下过了又没有拿到冷衣，you know a lot of condition 好像不想让我去。然后我就
okay,
我就 determine 去。
Yeah.
然后上了巴士，我也不懂干嘛，就一直睡，整个路程就睡着去，
yeah.
就没有吐，也没有什么，
oh,
然后就。
Didn't vomit.
到了上到去，就是7:00多，
okay.
很塞车，因为很塞车。
Yeah, yeah,
然后我就去到， yeah. 然后师傅讲来载我。然后我叫 OK， 不要麻烦师傅把我自己搭车。然后师傅说不行，我还是来载你。然后我讲 OK 好。然后那个司机就把我丢在那个一个角落，就20多个人都下车了，就只剩下我，因为我要答应师傅，我要去到车头的总站我才能下车，而且我也不熟悉金马仑的环境。然后他就把那个车开到一个旁边的巷子里面， 车上只有我一个女孩子，然后有三个男人。然后我就没有任何的 aversion， 我只是说，我心里说，那你不应该这样对我们嘛。然后我也不管了，然后师父就一直打电话问我你在哪，有什么 landmark， 我也讲不出来，因为真的是暗摸摸的一个地方。
哦，晚上了吗？
啊，这样，然后他就，然后我就 suddenly 我的 mind 说，我 share location 啊。
啊，呀。
然后就share location， 然后他们就说你在那边等。其实我都不能下车，因为他锁住我们在车上。
哦，
就是真的是锁住，连我的 luggage 就在 underneath compartment。
哦 ，OK。
然后我也没有什么想，我只是说，哎呀 ，OK， 就等了，等他回来，我就，他们说你拿了行李就不要再坐那架车，然后我就想 ，OK， 我拿了行李，我就冒着雨就淋着雨这样走走走走，就找不到师傅。
哦、oh, okay. ，
然后我就想，我就直接一直走，一直走，一直走，一直走。然后师父说你啊，然后我看到一个 sign，OK，、okay, 然后好了，我就遇到师父了。然后我后来我 come to understand， 其实那个司机把我们锁在那边的目的，他是本来是要载他的一个熟客回家。
哦、oh, okay. ，
因为那个熟客是半路跳上车说，哎，下雨了。我要回家，你载我先回，然后丢那四个客子这样，
oh, okay, okay.
然后我就心想 ，OK 啦，不要紧，那个 OK。然后对，我最后明白的是，他这样子对我，第一他要赚钱，第二他是要把所有的，把我们用一个小的 taxi 载去车站，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后我也没有怎么样了。然后我的 experience 是，觉得这一次的 retreat。还有一点点的 ，you know， it's a sort of understanding。Plus， 我该在来跟 Missy sharing 的时候，我是说我在绕佛的时候，
yeah.
就是 after 我 chanting， 我在绕佛的时候
yeah. Yeah.
有一个，就是 as 我绕佛的时候，
yeah.
我的这里好像一下子噔噔，
yeah.
然后就。好像全部东西就 into 一个
oneness，
我我刚才我不懂什么来。
不用知道 ，no need to know。
就是这样子，其实我这个 retreat 的 experience a lot of things to learn， you know， as 还要穿那个海青，还要 walk with the 海青 and all the Mahayana
tradition，
这个是我的 first time 的
experience，
experience in the way。
How many days？
5400。
五天四夜了、
其实我只是做了三天的禅定，因为三天他们开始，然后我 Wednesday 我做完整个 session afternoon 我就回家了。
哦、
嗯，就是这样子。就是这样。
好啊。
没有什么，就是很好的 experience 这样子。
Very good.
Yeah.
Let's rejoice. 萨德，萨德，萨德。How many of you don't understand Mandarin? Everybody understands, except Fiji. Fiji was laughing when she understood. Okay, I brief you a bit on Alicia sharing. Yeah? She got some history behind. She got a lot of affinity with a store Bodhisattva, Di Zhang Wang Pusa. So when she came to know about the... They call it the chanting session, I think. It was supposed to be 5 days, 4 nights. Yeah? Regarding Astore Bodhisattva's, they call it some form of chanting, I don't know what they call it. Then she heard about it, she decided to go because of the affinity. Then she explained while she was waiting at the station. I think the bus station. Is it a bus station? You went up there by bus? Pekeliling there. 是不是 Pekeliling the bus station?
BTS, 那个 Banda Tasik.
Oh, Tasik, Tratan. Okay. So when she was there, I think the schedule was changed.Supposed to be 11 something, change to 2 something. 是中午还是什么？ 中午晚上才到啊。Oh, okay. But because of traffic jam, she arrived there, I think, late at night. Then luckily she contacted Teng Siwong Sifu. Then Teng Siwong Sifu decided to fetch her. But the day, the bus driver was very funny, according to her. She asked both of them to disembark from the bus, except the four of them up there. She was the only lady with three other men. Then she came to find out later the bus driver need to send somebody, I think another customer that the bus driver knew, back first before he can come back to fetch them to the bus station. Then her luggage, everything was still in the bus and they locked the bus. Anyway, somehow after he came back, she took the luggage, she got to walk. I think it was raining. Then she continued to walk. Then she saw a sign. Then managed to meet up with Teng Siong Sifu and managed to go to the temple, San Pao Si. It's a Mahayana temple where they do the install Bodhisattva ceremony and chanting. So what happened was, during that whole trip, like she said, initially she was sleepy. She just slept through. Then there was nothing really special or extraordinary. But when that thing happened, she was very calm. She didn't really react. And it was an experience for her. Then at the retreat, they have to wear that type of Mahayana traditions, type of haiqing. I think it's for the lady and the man. You have a type of black, I think black and the light shaded type of we call it, you all call it robe, but I don't think they call it robe. Is it called robe? Haiqing, what you call it in English? Black robe. So she was wearing that one and performing the you all call Lao what? I know, the Rao Fo la, means like walking meditation. Mindfully you chant and you walk. So it's a very typical Mahayana type of practice. So it's like chanting the Buddha's name or chanting certain sutta, but mindfully, to invoke the faith, the spiritual faculty and all those things. So that was what she went through. It was something very new to her, first time. But because of the affinity with Tizang Wang, Pusa, Astor Bodhisattva, she managed to have an experience. Something happened during the round four, when they were doing the chanting, mindfully doing the chanting and walking. Something happened at the heart area. Then suddenly her nature arose. It was like a oneness nature. Then she said, very difficult to describe what happened. So I told her, no need to describe, it's something beautiful. It's for the cultivator to understand. When you have faith, when you chant the Buddha's name or the Bodhisattva's name, when there's condition for you to have affinity to connect, then through that faith, that chanting, that affinity, something can happen. Then when it happens, it can connect you straight away to that nature and allow you to experience the oneness nature. The oneness nature is just a word. You don't try to imagine. Unless you go through, you cannot understand. Then that nature, when it arises, it is something that you will develop a lot of understanding. So this is basically what she would like to share. Let us rejoice with her good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then whatever happens, if there are causes and conditions, it's meant to be, it will be. The reason why I know a bit of her background is she used to share with me how when she went to this, I think Xian Hua's monastery, the one at Jalan Ampang, Zi Ying Tong, is it? No, it's Deng Pi An, sorry, Deng Pi An, not Zi Ying Tong, Deng Pi An. Maybe you can ask her to relate. 你要 share 吗？以前邓比安那个地藏王菩萨的，是跟谁？
哦，上次我去邓比安吃斋的时候，然后我就其实我没有拜地藏王菩萨的，其实我就拜了观音菩萨，然后我就走去后面食堂吃斋，然后我走到走着走的时候，他有一个。我也想不出来，然后他说 你回头，然后我就走回头，然后我就走到去地藏菩萨那边，然后他就自自然然地坐下来，然后就 meditation 这样，然后就静了下来，然后过了一阵子他的那个 vow 就出来说
the vow
要三次了，有三次的 vow
杀掉杀掉杀掉。So can you understand? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She was relating that there was one occasion she went to this Jalan Ampang, Tempi An. Used to be Master Xuan Hua's monastery. It's very nice. I've been there many times. She was having vegetarian meal there. Then her usual routine was straight away pay respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, then Sakyamuni Buddha. So she doesn't have much thinking about this astore Bodhisattva. Then very funny, as she was mindfully walking towards the back of the Tempi An, the temple, suddenly something alert her. You walk backward, go to this a store Bodhisattva there. Then she went. Then naturally she sat down to meditate. Then when she meditated, very funny, she also very surprised. The a store Bodhisattva's vow came out, repeated 3 times. And she was very calm, very peaceful. Oh, 记得有眼泪是吗？有吗？The tears starts to flow and all that thing. That's why when you have affinity,you will come to know. Well, these are the things that in the past you have developed affinity with the great being. Then the vow has an effect on your cultivation. So when the condition arises, it will manifest for you to understand all this. That's why it will arise. Then this is to remind you. And it can happen in many ways.Different being different. Within our Kayanamita group, there are so many. Some have affinity with Wensu, Manjushri, Bodhisattva. I think you all know. She is, her nature with Manjushri's nature is like good friend. They have been good friend long time. Then very strong affinity. That's how a lot of things happen. Then that spiritual trip to Putosan.Not Putosan, Uthai San. He's not supposed to go. Last minute, she came and attended the class. After a break of 1 over year, she didn't come. Then she came. Then suddenly, she, after the meditation class, she asked the group, any spiritual trip or not that Brother Teo organized? Then they told her, yeah, we are going to this Manjushri way place, Uthai San.But full already. The trip, I think, will be next week, is full already. Then later on, one of the Kayamita came and talked to me. Separate, this lady, she wants to join, but full already. I said, which lady? Then she mentioned her. You know. But I can remember during the early day when she came,her nature is beautiful. She got her past cultivation. When she reported her meditation, I knew. I even told one of the Kayamita who always provide transport for me. to go there to teach at Bob's and all those things. She's from Bob's. I say, this lady, she has a past. Watch out for her. She will progress very fast. Then later on, I recall that incident. Then I said, if she wants to go, let her come. Then he said, fuller deal. I said, never mind. We call the organizer to increase the bus capacity. Then more can come. Those on reserve also can come. So that was the spiritual trip. I think 2008, if I'm not wrong. Or 2009, I forgot already. Then at that time when she went there, she didn't expect anything. According to her, she thought it was just a spiritual trip. She also wanted to go and experience like Lepa. But the moment she reached there, a lot of things happened. Then when we visited the five way place, because up there they call it the five way place of Manjushri. The first peak that we went up, it was very high up. The weather was beautiful, cooling, chill. She straight away, as she went up, she was crying. Tears all keep on flowing. Then, when we reached the peak, she completely kneeled down, pay respect, and break down. Wow, was very loud, the cry and all those things with the tears on. Then later on, she continued her respect and everything. Then she reached a place where the abbot's hall was. Then he looked at the photo. Then looked like the photo was talking to her. The abbot just like, there is a message sent to her. Say, you are back. Then there is a smile. Then she felt funny. Later on she came out and talked to me. He explained all this to me. He said, well, how come like that? I say, it's affinity. You have been here before. Then all those things start to manifest. Then again, like her case, she starts to develop a lot of understanding after that. Then after that, a lot of things happen to her. Her nature also start to connect. Then her cultivation become very different. Then she become very serious. Then she start to find out who is this Manjushri Bodhisattva and all those things. She is English educated, and yet she find out. Then many things happen. Then some, of course, with the other Bodhisattva. Most of you have affinity Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then some with Pusen Pusa, quite a number. Then Amitabha, Buddha, Mila Four, Maitreya. Then there are other great beings. You never know. When you take refuge with Triple Gem, you take refuge with all these Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and great cultivators, because they are part of the Triple Gem. Then some of them will later become Sama Sambuddha. So this is how cultivation can progress and develop when you have affinity. And affinity, you can cultivate it many ways. You go and read the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, that I share with you all, the transcript. It's all mentioned there, how to develop the affinity. Okay? Anybody else? If you got any Dhamma question or meditation question, next time you should write it down so that when the time comes, you just either pass the question up or put on my table. Then I can answer them for you so that nobody knows who is asking. Or if you want to read out from your written notes, you can too. Anybody else? Or if you want to share anything, you can. Or ask any related question to what we have just gone through, you also can. Pass the mic to Sister Alicia.
Hello? Brother, if no one has a question, I can ask you.
Can.
Alaya 第八世,
Alaya consciousness. What do you want to know?
我只是想知道那个是什么，可以、
oh, okay.
可以吗
？Okay. So, you see, the Mahayana got a very unique way of describing the eight type of consciousness. The eight consciousness that she talked about, they call it the Alaya consciousness. You are familiar with the eight type of Mahayana consciousness or not? They are actually no different. It's just the five aggregate of form and mind. The first five, they call it the physical senses consciousness. First, second, third, fourth, and fifth consciousness. They are your seeing consciousness, your hearing consciousness, your smell, your taste, and your tactile. So these are the first five types of consciousness. They define it based on the sense organ that trigger it off. Then the sixth consciousness, they call it the sixth consciousness, which is the mind consciousness. Actually, that one is your perception. Because perception is mind perceived. So perception is their sixth consciousness. And this sixth consciousness, because it is common to all the six, it is mind consciousness. And it is the mind that perceives. So whether you are seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile feel, or think, this sixth sense must have perception. So this is the sixth consciousness. Then the seventh consciousness, they say, is the organ for the eighth consciousness. You know what is the organ? Huh? You know what is the organ here? The five physical ones, are your eye, ear, nose, tongue, and tactile. The mind also has an organ according to them. And that is actually no different from your Sankara. So sixth consciousness is Sanya, okay, perception. Seven consciousness, which is the organ, they call it the organ. So that is Sankara. Yeah. So what happened is, he said, the Sanya, which is perception, is the sense data for the mind. When the sense data come in, because you make contact, there's a avijja paccaya sankhara. The mind think and make contact with the organ, which is sankhara. So the perception, which is the external form, mental form, like the Buddha image, or my voice, or whatever sense data that goes in through perception, make contact with that organ. That organ is supposed to be your sankhara, mental activity and all those things. Then it trigger off consciousness. You understand? Like physics experiment. Eh? Upon contact, what happened? The light bulb? What happened to the light bulb? Light up, isn't it? So you become conscious of what your mind perceives or think. You understand? So that is the eight consciousness. And they call that the Alaya consciousness, where they believe all these are stored together. And they call it the, what they call, storehouse consciousness. That's why you heard of this word, Alaya consciousness, they translate as storehouse consciousness. We don't have the bot anymore. Alaya, the spelling is A-L-A-Y-A, Alaya consciousness, or storehouse consciousness. So this is the accumulation of all of your storehouse consciousness. So to them, they believe there is a storehouse consciousness. They store everything within nature. It will never get lost. So your karmic has a lot to do with this. So this is what they define. But to me, I don't find it that useful. Understand? Forget about all this when you meditate. Don't try to know. Then later on, you will understand what they are trying to tell you. Because this teaching actually come from the Mahayana in the Surangama Sutta, Leng Yan Jing. So it comes from this link. Avijja Paccaya Sankara, Sankara Paccaya, the next one is what? Vijnana. Then after Vijnana, Nama Rupang. So they say, dependent on ignorance, you want to know because you don't understand. One thing to know, one thing to experience, what you do? You think. So you think means your mind make contact with the consciousness, with the mind. So upon contact, consciousness arises. So this is the consciousness. But according to Mahayana, he said, just like your sense basis, you need an organ, understand? The mind organ, they call it the seven consciousness. So the perception that brings in the mental form, upon contact with that sankhara, trigger of vijnana. This is the mental consciousness. Then when you input the content, it becomes namarupang. Understand? Content of consciousness going. Otherwise, it's just pure consciousness. This is what the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. The content hasn't gone in. The self-delusion hasn't gone in. But here to here is very fast. Straight away, immediately. Like there is no break because of your ignorance, your self-delusion, your avijja. When self-delusion is there, straight away, it will perceive, react, and stir. That's how your mind functions. And it's very fast. You can only see it when you are silent, completely silent and mindful. Then the content of consciousness is always from your views, opinion, and conditioning, which is your memory, your brain. You will see it happening. Then when you stay at the heart, away from the memory, then you realize you can experience this pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. No one to see. You can have the ability to be aware of that. That's why you don't meditate with the right understanding. You can never understand all this. You have to stay at your mind base, which is away from your brain, your memory, your conditioning. So all this cannot come in. Then you will stay there. You will be aware from there. And that silent mind will understand all this. Okay? How many of you understand? Oh, sadhu. Somebody there, a little bit. This part, those who went through the Surangama class, they may understand. I taught this a few years back. Leng Yan Jing. Miss Lee should know. Your Mahayana. Yeah lah. T6, T7 ne? No. T6, T7, 你们懂是什么吗? T6 色, T7 色. You go and find out. It's in the Surangama Sutta. Yeah. Use the mic. That is the eight consciousness. But the alaya is different. Yeah? They say the alaya is the storehouse of all the summation of all the eight consciousness. Tipasu. You ask your question.
My question is this alaya consciousness or storehouse consciousness, is it the same as our subconsciousness?
No. Different. Every of the consciousness that arise under nature's law is stored somewhere. Understand? It's just like your karmic nature. All of your karmic activity that you arise through mental intention or whatever, they are stored. The summation of all of the segmented life become your karmic nature. Understand? It's the whole thing stored as one. So they call this the storehouse consciousness. Alaya consciousness. Means they believe there is a nature that has this ability to store all this consciousness so that you can go in and like a library, go in and take it out. Like the Buddha recall his past, they believe he went into the Alaya consciousness and recall. Yeah. But for those who understand, every thought that arises never disappear. Never disappear. That's why they believe there is a storehouse. But you cannot like want to understand, wow, like that, everybody creates so much thought. The whole universe, so many beings. Where can they store all this thought? But thought is formless, understand? It's energy. So no need to store anywhere. But there is a nature's law that takes care, like karmic nature. You cannot say, wow, every being born, like the Buddha said, your countless birth and death, eons and eons. How can nature law record and store? Cannot. But nature's law is like computer, no? Never make mistake. No? Computer sometimes can have problem, breakdown. No? Nature's law never break down. No? Never break down. That's why you cannot conceive nature. Nature is very powerful. That's why the Panchaniyama, these are the boundary conditions that were set at the inception of nature. When this condition arising, Big Bang or whatever arise, the boundary condition was set. The five universal order that governs all of life and condition or within nature, they already set. That's why even you say you are God or what, God is also subject to this condition. But this is the condition world. These are the law, the great law, universal order that governs life and existence. That's why even we all, let's say we have our nature, we can be Samasambuddha or great Bodhisattva or what. But when you come to this world, you have to have a form of mind, understand not? And this form of mind is within the nature's law. Like this body go the way of nature, subject to karma. You cannot run. But of course, your true nature is beyond all this. It's from the unconditioned. But that one is not you, understand not? That one is not an individual. That one cannot come out into the conditioned world. That's the reason why the teaching is very difficult to comprehend, very difficult to understand. It's about the unconditioned and the conditioned. You have to penetrate both sides. And to penetrate both sides, every time you come, you must connect and realize the unconditioned. Then with that wisdom connected, this understanding connected, then only you can understand the conditioned world. Then with both sides of the understanding, then only you can live life. Then the unreal become real. That's why I used to tell you, after you awaken, within the conditioned world is impermanent, suffering, empty, non-self, not real. But there is such thing as life, understand? There is such thing as a form of mind having this condition to live life to the fullest, to experience, although it's within the moment. Understand? Condition arising. But there is such thing as life, understand? That form of mind can live it, understand? Like since the year 1989 until now, this form of mind is so beautiful, so useful. That's why become the master. Use this fellow, understand? No need to worry about this fellow. And use it for the good of the many. So that it can be a blessing to all. And this is what the unreal can become real. That's why you cannot understand Dhamma. On one side, all not real, empty. He know you, he know me. On the other side, got karma. Got you. You are born of your karma, head of your karma, conditions, and you are what you are because of. And all this is true, real. The Buddha never lied. Then you say, how can the Buddha contradict himself? On the one side, you say, oh, anatta, non-self. Feeling not me, perception not me, sankhara not me, consciousness not me. The physical form also not me. Then suddenly you say, I am born of my karma, heir to my karma. Then who am I? What am I? Very confusing. Oh. The Buddha is never confusing. It's you who are confusing. Well, you cannot understand him. When he mentioned all this, he understand it from both sides. Understand? That's why when he say mind, he can mean two things, true mind or untrue mind. And you don't understand. Then you say, no lah, Buddha say mind is this. Like the primary school student, huh? 2 + 5 = 7. He will argue you. You say 1 + 6 = 7. No, you're wrong. My teacher say 2 + 5. 1 + 6, you're wrong. But they don't have the understanding of the logic behind or the arithmetic behind. Understand? To them, rigid knowledge. So they argue. So when there is understanding, then you will come to an understanding. Yeah, both are right. 1 + 6 = 7. 2 + 5 = 7. Why you want to argue? It's how you look at it.
But you, subconsciousness also is something stored, and then we are something stored inside us.
It's not something stored. Subconscious and the unconscious, these are the consciousness that has the deep-rooted defilement, the fear. That's why it's called a subconscious release. Understand? It's a release. Because when you accumulate through your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever delusion, then it's trapped inside there. And it has not surfaced. That's why it's not conscious. You are not conscious of it. It's like Eckhart Tolle, he used a better word. Pain body. Understand? Pain body. You know what is a pain body or not? Your emotional negativity. That can trigger up pain in you, suffering in you. So he called that pain body. He said sometimes the pain body is not dormant. It's dormant. It's not active. Understand or not? Dormant means what? No condition doesn't trigger off. Understand or not? Like certain kayamita, you don't step on her toe, she will not get angry. She will be like very friendly. But the moment you say something that step on her toe or her view and condition, that dormant become active. Understand or not? Then suddenly. But your subconscious is the release when you are asleep. When you are asleep means when you rest, your form and mind, you are not conscious. You are not actively thinking. Understand? So when you are not actively thinking, your nature actually starts to heal you. So how does it heal? Because when you are without the daily mindfulness, without the Dhamma, throughout the day, you create a lot of negativity, reaction, fear, anxiety, sorrow, lament. You accumulate all this. And these are the defilements, the emotional negativity that you have built up, accumulated. So your brain don't have order. So how is it going to find order? Have to wait till you sleep, understand? Then it releases all this phobia, this fear. That's why you got nightmare, dream, and all things. If it don't release, you will become cuckoo. You'll go into depression, I tell you. That's why you must have rest. Then they release it out. Then when you have this phobia or fear or nightmare, it's like it released out. But because it's accumulated, you have not rooted it out, it will come back and haunt you. Understand? The most easy to understand is you go to university, you got this exam fever or fear. Because you're very scared, you fail, you got kicked out. Very, very bobina. No face. Or they call paise. Then you're scared your family may not be able to pay for your scholarship. You may have to pay back your scholarship and all those things. Then sometimes your family, parents, hard-earned money, they actually sacrifice for you and do all this to sponsor your education, and you fail. So that fear went in without you knowing it. Then after you graduate, even after you already got your degree, for many years you will have dream and nightmare like you haven't taken your exam. Understand? or you still got this fear that you may fail your exam. These are the subconscious release, because it's trapped deep inside. Don't try to understand now. But later on, when you meditate, when you understand, you see all these things on. You see how it releases out on. Because I find out myself last night, when I was in the uni, I shared with you all this one. We got this college song. The first year ragging, college song and all things. So because I like it, I do it until it become like part of my nature. I enjoy the college song and we have a lot of fun first year. So I sing all these college songs. And some of these college songs, they are called dirty song. Understand? Dirty song means the lyric, the content. And this is what. And funny, you know, whenever you got condition, this one like automatic, you know, come out like submachine gun like that. Sometimes you hear the music alone, it will come out. Because they go and modify this song, Daisy, into a very, very, what they call, I don't know what word to use. Anyway, no need to mention. Then, whenever they talk about it or what, then all this will come out. Like last night I shared with you at the retreat. We are in the college, they like to sing this song. Then sometimes they have fun, a lot of fun. The one that is not so much foul language one is maybe this one I will remind you. You at the retreat, most of you must have heard before. They have this college song. They say, meet me tonight all alone. I got a story to tell you, a story that has never been told. But the beginning is more interesting, is it? What was it already? Old woman, they call all the pretty young graduate girls, they call them woman now. Old woman, why are you born so beautiful? I forgot how to sing, too long. Why are you born so beautiful? Then the other part is, you shouldn't have been born at all. Oh, very funny, you know. Why are you born so beautiful? I cannot remember. So last time, keep on coming out on this style of song. Because it is like habitual inside, habitual tendency, and very strong. Then I realize, hey, cannot stop. Then I realize, you should not try to stop. Understand? There is suppression. Let it come out. You have to understand why it's there. Then I came to the understanding, it's like good merit. You do with the three conditions, it become very powerful. Understand? So manasa sahagatang. Nyana sampai utang, asang kalikan. All the three fit in. No? Before I do, I was full of joy. When I do, I was full of joy. After I do, I was full of joy. Then instead of doing with wisdom, you do with delusion. You have fun. You want to play. Understand? You want to enjoy. Then no need. What one? Spontaneously come out. No need people to prompt you and teach you how to sing. You learn it on your own and very fast. Then I realize, for defilement is equally powerful, you know, like merits, the highest. This one also higher. Wow, luckily, no karmic negativity, understand? Or not? But this show to you how your mind functions. Then you know how I root it out. Or not? It's through understanding. Then it just gone. Then I just silent. Then I realize, when the stability of wisdom and understanding is there, want to sing, can still sing. Don't want to sing, also can stay silent. Then I realize, no need to suppress, no need to do anything. Initially, you want to come out, let it come out. Then you aware, cease. Then later on, cannot come out. But if I want to sing, I can still sing. Like mahjong. I like to play mahjong and card game and all. My wife know last time. Then suddenly, one day, after I developed the cultivation and understanding, it just stopped, no, don't want to play. No. Then I feel funny, you know, I want to find out, how come like that? My friend will call me, it's nothing to do with, I'm spiritual, I already have the Dhamma, I cannot do all, no, nothing. I just want to find out why that nature just stopped. Completely stopped. Then I go on Chinese New Year when I went back to my brother's place, they play mahjong. I touch the tao, I can still feel like before. I'm an expert. I no need to look at the tiles. I know what cut is that. Yeah, I can still play. I say, why stop? The nature just understand no more meaning. You cannot play already. They ask you to play, you won't get angry, nothing. They say, it's okay, you all go ahead. Then they feel funny, you know. Suddenly I stop. And because I stop, they also stop. You have the gang no more. That's why the cultivation is not what you think. When you go through, you will know. You will understand all this. It's no more from the thought. It's no more from knowledge. It's no more from the reasoning, the logic. And all. No, it's the understanding. The understanding completely change and transform you. We better end. I think I exceeded a long time. Wow, 20 more minutes. Sorry. I must apologize. Okay, we do the sharing of merits. Then transfer of merit. Then we end. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. And we will share these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakhantu lokasasana ita wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Yeah.